want you to follow with me, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right or righteous. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers," or parents, verse 4, "provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Perhaps you've heard of the experiment where you place a frog in a pan of water, put it on the stove. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. Don't recommend you do this. I've never done it, but it's always intrigued me, the idea. And then you turn the stove on, and very, very slowly you increase the temperature of the water. And even though the frog is able to jump out of the pan, what happens? The water begins to boil, and the frog just sits there because it increased in temperature so slowly, and the frog actually boils in the pan, right? This is a good illustration of what has happened to the family in America. We basically, even in our Christian families, we've sat and sat in the boiling water of our atheistic, humanistic culture. And as it has drifted farther and farther away from God, we have been more corrupted and by this influence around us. Paul said, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And there's no question about it, the family in America and in the church today is in trouble. We see the demise and the breakdown of Christian values and the family being a divine institute and the way God designed it to be. And we are reaping in our culture what we've sown. We've sown to the wind, we're reaping a whirlwind. And the very institution of the family and marriage is under attack today. Now, why is that happening? Number one, we've forsaken God in the Bible in the United States. And we're gonna do a detailed look at these verses, but bear with me for just a moment. I believe that America has forsaken its foundation, that we should fear God, love God, and that the Bible should be central in our homes and in our lives. We no longer believe the Bible is the Word of God. Our churches today have become liberal. We've drifted away from God's Word. And what we need to help the family is a return to the Bible. And for there to be a revival in America, there needs to be a re-Bible. Back to the Word of God. George Washington once said, "It is impossible to govern a nation without God and the Bible." I believe that. And we've rejected both God and we've rejected the Bible. And the reason for all the social problems that we have in America today is because we've drifted from God and His Word. And then secondly, I believe we're living in the last days. I'm watching what's going on with Israel and with the Gaza Strip and with Russia. Very significant in Bible prophecy. The Bible predicts that Russia will invade Israel in the last days. I'm watching what's going on in our world today, very troubled world. But there's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where it describes the social conditions going on in the world just before the Lord returns. Paul said, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be three things, basically. They will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now, if that does not describe our culture, I don't know what does. These three perverted loves. We love ourselves, we love money, covetous, and we are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the two of the side effects or the results of that is in this text, disobedient to parents, last day scenario, and without family love. My King James Bible translates that without natural affection. But the Greek actually means without a love of family. And we see that in the world today. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. We don't believe in the traditional family. And we're redefining marriage and the family and the home. God is the one that instituted marriage. God instituted the family. Before the church, which is the divine institution, before any forms of government, before a public school system, which is not, by the way, a divine institution. An institution can be a great institution, but not a divine institution. God instituted the home. The home. That where the young people born in that home would be molded and shaped and raised to fear the Lord, to honor God and their parents and obey their parents. And we're going to see that in our passage that we study this morning. Satan hates the family, and he's doing all he can to destroy it and bring its demise. So what is the solution to the problem? Back to the Bible. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. You come to Revival for any length of time, you know that we teach from the Bible. We preach not just from the Bible, but the Bible. We study the Word of God. And this is what the Word has to say to children and to parents. First, God's Word to children, verses 1 to 3. Now, notice it with me again. Children, you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You are to honor your father and your mother, verse 2, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's look at this. First of all, the word children means offspring. It means offspring. But in the context, he's speaking there of dependent children still in the home. And he gives them two commandments. So if you're a child in the home, write these down. Number one, you are to obey your father and your mother. You are to obey your parents. Now the word obey literally means to listen under. And it has to do, catch this, with the action of obedience. Honor focuses on the attitude of obedience. Obey deals with the action of obedience. So you're to have ears that are open, listening to mom and dad. When you have your little ones around, you ever notice that you go, are you listening to me? Are you listening? Do you hear me? And maybe they're absorbed in their little computer game or got their iPad going or they have their headphones on. They're going, no, I don't hear you. No, I don't hear you. We need to listen to our parents with the intention, with the idea, with the design of obeying them. And this command is in the present tense. It's what's called a present imperative. So a child's obedience is to be habitual and constant obedience. Not just once in a while, not just once a week, not when we feel like it, not when you hope mom and dad will take me to Disneyland, not when Christmas is approaching and you want to be nice so you get lots of presents, but you're to continually, ongoingly, habitually obey your parents. Do I hear all the moms and dads say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We could just stop right there and have a worship service. Oh, heaven help the home that we would have children who would actually listen and obey their parents. Notice who we're to obey. Verse 1, parents, mom and dad. This is where young lives are shaped and molded. They also learn to respect authority. They learn to respect authority in the home. And we need that in our homes today. It's your Christian duty as well, kids. Notice verse 1, in the Lord. What does that phrase mean? Obey your parents in the Lord. It means that you do it as unto the Lord. You do it because the Lord commands you, and you do it as a Christian duty and responsibility. Why do you obey your parents? Verse 1, this is what? Right. Some translations have righteous. It has two applications. Number one, it means it's according to natural law. It's fitting, some render that. It's fitting. It's only fitting that an offspring of a parent be obedient to them. They're older, they're more mature, out of respect. You obey your parents in all cultures. This is interesting. Non-Christian cultures, most primitive cultures, guess what kids do? They obey their parents. It's only in modern America the children don't obey their parents. And that's sad and tragic. In a home that's run by switches all around the house, we need to get back to the switch. We're going to see that in just a moment. Good old-fashioned spanking. Yes, I actually use the word spanking. You may have to come visit me in jail this week for that, but our pastor was arrested. I'm going to read you some verses to support that and tell you how to do that. What did you learn in church? I learned how to spank my kids. Praise God. But children are to listen, children are to obey, because this is right to the Lord. It's fitting. And Colossians, a parallel passage, chapter 3, verse 20, says it is pleasing to God. Now, let me give you rule number two for the kids. Let me give you command number two. It's in verse 2. It's the word honor. Honor your father and your mother. Now, Paul says this is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. Now, what does it mean to honor your parents? It means to value them, to respect them, to appreciate them. So again, obey is the outward action. Honor is the inward attitude. We all know the story Jesus gave of the prodigal son. You know that story, the prodigal son? Two brothers in a family, and the younger brother said to his dad, give me my inheritance now. I'm going to wait till you die. I want it now. And he got his inheritance, and he journeyed to a far country, and he wasted his inheritance on riotous living. That's where we get the word prodigal from, riotous, wasteful living. When he came to his senses, returned to his father embraced him, kissed him, put a robe on him, ring and shoes, killed a fatted calf, had a big old honking party for his son who was lost and came home. But that's not the end of the story. And a lot of people miss the real point of the story. There was an elder brother. And when the elder brother came back after a day at work at the house and he heard the parties and the revelry and all the excitement, he grabbed one of the servants and says, what's going on? He says, your brother that was lost is now home and your dad's killed a fatted calf, got a big party going. And his face turned green with envy and his heart turned hard and he got mad and angry. And he said to his father, he says, father, all these years, now listen to his words, all these years I have served you. He was a picture perfect child. All these years I've served. And never once did you give me a party for my friends. Never once did you kill the fatted calf and let me have a party. But this son of yours, the minute he comes home, you give him a big party. Did you know there's two kinds of sins? Sins of the flesh, the younger son, and sins of the spirit, the older son. Guess what God looks at? He looks at our hearts. For too long in the church, we've made a big deal about the sins of the flesh. And rightfully so. We don't want to live in the flesh. But there's also sins of the heart, sins of the spirit. And God is looking at your heart. If you're a young person in the home and you're not really honoring your parents, you're not respecting your parents, God sees your attitude. Just like that older brother. I served you all these years and you never gave me. There was bitterness in his heart, even though outwardly he was doing all the right things. So we're to honor our parents. How? By the way we talk to them, by the way we help them around the house, by caring for them in their old age. Listen very carefully. We outgrow the command to obey, but we never outgrow the command to honor. Now, both first and second services, I got questions about adult parents asking you to do things that are unreasonable. So I want to emphasize this point. You outgrow the command to obey, especially if you're married, all right? So guys, if you're married and your mom tells you to do something, you know, you have a wife. I just thought I'd inform you. There's another woman in your life that takes precedence. Well, she's my mother, you know, I need to honor her, respect. Yeah, but you don't need to obey everything she tells you to do. But you honor her and you respect her and you value her. But your wife becomes number one in your life. You leave father and mother, cleave unto your wife. So we do outgrow the command to obey, but we never outgrow the command to honor our father and our mother. Now, he gives us two reasons in this text why we should honor our father and mother. Commandment number one, reason number one is in verse 2. It is the first commandment in the Bible with a promise. And it's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue more specifically, with a promise. Now, this is commandment number 5. You've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? You've all heard of the Ten Commandments. It's called the Decalogue. Commandment number 5 is what? Honor your father and your mother. And guess what's attached to that? In Exodus 20, verse 12. That it may be well with you. that you may live long in the land that you go to possess. Now, in the context there of Exodus, it's the land of promise, the land of Canaan that God gave to the Jews. So Paul picks up on that promise, and he says to the Ephesian believers and to you and I today, if you honor your parents, it will be well with you, and you will live long upon the earth. So he moves it from the land of promise to the earth, a general principle. So the first promise in the Ten Commandments that we get. Now, secondly, the reason we honor our parents is it brings blessing. Notice in verse 3, in two areas, that it may be well with you, that's quality of life, and that thou mayest live long on the earth, that's quantity of life. Guess what, in a general sense, happens to the child that obeys their parent? They tend to have a better life. They tend to have a safer life. Let me give you an example. When I was little, I was doing things my mom didn't tell me, told me not to do. I have scars on my face today because I didn't obey my mom. I would look better if I would have listened to my mom. I was about 7 or 8, and I was in the garage, and the garage doors in those days, many moons ago, the big wooden garage doors where you could fold them up, and you could crawl on the inside of the garage door. Remember that, guys? That was cool. So I'm crawling around. My mom said, John, don't crawl on that garage door. It's dangerous. You can get hurt. Ah, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about, man. This is our fort, you know. So I disobeyed my mother. I got up there, and I'm crawling around. But our garage had a window in it. And I'm up there crawling around. My mom comes in the garage. Oh, no, I'm busted. Better get down. I started scurrying across the garage. And I hit that window on my hands and knees, and I fell through it face forward. My face went into the glass, smash. Sliced my head wide open. I'm bleeding all over the place. And my mom walks in the garage and, oh, she's going to spank me. So I start running down the street. And I start yelling, don't spank me, Mama. Don't spank me, Mom. Don't spank me, Mom. And the neighbors saw this bloody kid going down the street. Don't spank me, Mom. Don't spank me, Mom. But as I said, I would actually look better today if I'd have listened to my mom. I got other scars on my face because I didn't do what my parents told me to do. And I've got friends that are in prison right now because they didn't do what their parents told them to do. Some of the friends I had in high school are in prison right now, doing time in prison because they didn't obey their parents. Quality and quantity. You shall have a longer life. Now, this doesn't mean that all godly, obedient children will live to a ripe old age. It is a general principle or rule that children obey and honor their parents will have a better and longer life. Absalom disobeyed his parents, rebelled against them, and he had a shortened life. Samson, the man who could have been, should have been, but wasn't, disobeyed his parents. Stay away from them, Philistine gals, they're trouble. Samson was telling his parents, I want her to wife. Get me that Philistine gal. He was actually bossing his parents around. And it was the death of Samson. But on the other side of the coin, there's Samuel the prophet, the little boy who loved the Lord and heard God's voice. And he had a long and fruitful ministry and a blessed life. And David, the shepherd boy, on whom the oil was poured as a young man. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he lived his whole life loving God, serving God, honoring his parents. And God blessed David. So you will live a better life, you will live a longer life, generally speaking, if you love the Lord. Listen to Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. This is one of my favorites, Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Read that to your toddler when you tuck them into bed at night. Whoa! Always obey mommy and daddy, or the ravens are going to eat your eyeballs. Yes, mommy. I mean, it's in the Bible. Now, it's not saying that you're going to be attacked by a raven in the backyard. It's just saying that, you know, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have hardships and difficulties if you don't learn to obey. So spirit-filled children obey and honor their parents. But now we move, verse 4, to God's word to parents. Notice it with me, verse 4. And ye fathers, or parents, provoke not your children to wrath. But this is what you should do. You should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, why is it that Paul uses the word fathers in verse 4? Up to this point, it's been parents, honor your father and mother. And now he says fathers. Now, to be honest from the text, the Greek word translated fathers in other places in the New Testament is translated parents. So children are to obey both father and mother, and father and mother have a responsibility to their children. By the way, notice the balance in the Bible. Wives, submit to your husbands. Balance, husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Balance, parents, provoke not your children to wrath. There's a balance there. Next Sunday, we get servants and masters. Obey your masters. Masters, give unto your servants as just and right and equal. There's a balance in the Bible. So here the father, though, is to lead the way. I believe that the word father is used there, rightfully so, because the father should take the lead in raising the children. Let me speak directly as a father to fathers today. Dads, don't be a deadbeat dad. Don't be an absent dad. Don't come home and blob out in your chair watching the sporting event. Say, I work hard all day. Keep the kids quiet. Keep them out of my way. Spank your son. Get up out of your chair. Be a man. Read to your kids. Hug your kids. Love your kids. Spend time with your kids. Discipline your kids. Train your kids. And you ought to lead the way in reading the Bible to your kids. There's too many dads that don't read the Bible to their kids. They don't talk to their kids about the things of God. And you're going to need to know the Bible to share the Bible. So he says, fathers. So listen up, dads. He says, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Now, before I break that down, I want to remind parents that children are a gift from God, loaned to us by God. Children are a gift to us from God. Sometimes we think, God, what did I do to deserve this? You know, what did I do wrong? Oh, God, why have you afflicted me? You know, Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are a gift of the Lord. Secondly, we are stewards of them. Did you know that your children aren't really yours? You go, praise God. Hallelujah. They are God's loan to you. God actually loaned them to you because he trusts you. And he entrusted you with this precious treasure. And you are going to answer to God someday as to how you trained them, how you lived around them, and the example you set for them. So they're loaned to you from the Lord. And then thirdly, children can bring great joy. Psalm 127, verse 5, happy is the man or the woman that has the quiver full. What an awesome picture that is. I have a pastor friend that this week sent me a picture, a text picture of his number 7th child. Now some people are like, are you crazy? You out of your mind? Can't even get a car to drive all them kids in, you know. They go in 2 vehicles to go to church. 7? Children are a blessing. And whether you got 1 or 7 or 13, doesn't matter. God's given them to you. God's entrusted them to you. Amen? And what a blessing it is, and what joy they bring to your heart. Notice they're like arrows. Happy is the man that has a quiver full. I don't know what your quiver can contain. You go, I'm quivering with my quiver. But arrows are to be taken out of the quiver, put in the bow, and shot, right? Now, jokingly, I said as far away as you can get them to go. But you know the interesting thing about the difference between a sword in the hand of a warrior and an arrow? The A sword is just an extension of your arm and your hand. It can only go so far, but an arrow can travel a great distance. Do you know that children can go to the ends of the earth and they can touch lives that you can't touch? Would to God that my kids all became missionaries and went into the far reachings of this earth and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to know that your kids are going out and they are blessing others like arrows. But here's the point. Arrows have to be made. They don't just happen. And a great warrior that had good arrows would always make his own arrows. He would design them and fashion them to do just what he wanted them to do. So as parents, we need to make these arrows or influence these arrows in the direction they are to be shot. Let me give you four responsibilities of the parent. Write these down. Number one, parents, don't provoke your children. That's found in verse 4. Fathers or parents, notice it, provoke not, so have the negative, your children, King James has, to wrath. Now the word provoke means to exasperate them or goad them into resentment. Colossians 3:21 has, lest they be discouraged. It suggests a repeated pattern of treatment that gradually builds into a deep-seated anger and resentment that often boils over into hostility. There are a lot of bitter, angry children today. And this message this morning has touched some sensitive chords. I had adults come to me after service that were abused by their parents. Wanted to know how they respond to that. How you honor a father or mother that abused you when you were a child. It's difficult. But we are to honor our parents, and parents are not to provoke their children. Don't provoke them. Don't exasperate them. Don't anger them. Now, there are several ways this can be done. Let me mention just a few. Criticism and fault finding. Especially when it comes from dad, it's so harsh. You have a standard, you have an idea, and you criticize, you fault find. It's never good enough. Never done right. Why can't you do anything right? You know how hurtful those words are to a young heart? Why do you always disobey me? Why do you always? And we just blast our kids with criticism rather than build them up with encouragement. Or being overly strict, as happens often in a Christian home. I've often said that parenting is like holding a wet bar of soap. If you squeeze it too tight, it's gone. If you let it too loose, slips right through your hands, right? So there needs to be balance. You don't want to be overly strict. You want to have guidelines and standards. By the way, parents, when you draw a line for your kids, make sure you think about those lines before you make that decision. Many times you say, no, you can't go. And then we think, well, why not? Yeah, well, yeah, you can go, you know. Kid's schizophrenic. He doesn't know if he can or can't go. Starts flailing on the floor, you know. Think about it, make a decision, and stick by your decision. And if you do make a wrong decision, be mature enough to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and go from there. And then neglect. This breaks my heart. But I know as a busy dad, when I was young, and all our kids were at home, and I was pastoring, been pastoring since I was 20 years old, I didn't get married until 25, and I know what it's like to be a pastor with a lot of kids. That you can get absorbed in your calling or your career or your ministry or your work and your priorities shift and you're not really focusing on your marriage and your wife and the home. Now, that's great, Dad, that you're a bread earner and you got a job and you work hard. You're to be commended for that, but the priority of your life is your marriage and your children. Don't get the priorities mixed up. You have children entrusted to you that you will answer to God for. Keep your priorities straight. And if your job keeps you out of the home, you have no influence on your children, pray about finding a new job. You need to prioritize and be devoted. Don't neglect your children. David neglected Absalom, and he rebelled against his father. Be consistent with your standards and the way you live. And lastly, do not show favoritism to your children. If you have multiple kids in the home, don't favor one over the other. Never show favoritism. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob, and it tore the family apart. You would think Jacob would have learned his lesson, but then Jacob favored Joseph over all his other sons, and it again tore the family apart. Be careful not to show favoritism. Now, the second thing you need to do is not only negative, don't provoke your children, but now the positive, verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, here's point number 2, love your children. This is conveyed in that phrase, bring them up. The word is also translated nourish in chapter 5, verse 29, where a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and nourishes it and cherishes it. The word literally means to warm with body heat. Parents should be affectionate to their children. Here's my call to dads again. Dads need to show affection to their children. You don't just get all macho and say, you know, men don't kiss, men don't hug. You know, let your mother kiss you. I don't kiss you. Kiss your kids, Dad. Hug your kids. Tell them that you love them. Nothing more important for a young child than to hear from his own father, his own mother, I love you. I can't tell you how many times I've had dads in my office just brokenhearted crying, I love my kids, but I don't know how to show it. I love my kids, but I don't know how to display it. I'll never forget one father 30 years ago just sobbing with tears, and he said, I love my kids, but I just don't know how to, I don't know how to express it to them because my dad abused me and neglected me, and I don't know how to show affection. Breaking my heart. One of the favorite things I had when my kids were young was to take them out for daddy kind of daughter, daddy son kind of time alone. And our favorite little trip was not to Disneyland or a vacation in the Bahamas, just a little 30-minute trip, dad and daughter, dad and kids, to the donut shop. I praise God for donuts. And I taught all my kids to love donuts. And I used to love taking my little girls out for a donut, just me and my daughter, and they'd always get the pink one, the big pink donut, you know, a cake donut. And I can still see my oldest daughter, Sarah, with her little pigtails and her feet kicking under the table, a big smile on her face. She's got that big pink donut in front of her. And then I would always take a moment and I'd stop and say, you know what? Daddy loves you. Stop. Say, you know what? They go, what? Daddy loves you. Convey that love to your children. And then you can hug them. That's another way to love them, show them physical affection. Listen to them. Spend time with them. Life goes so fast. Remember when you're a young parent and you see the old people go, oh, appreciate those kids while they're young. They're going to grow up fast. And you're like, you're just so stressed and overwhelmed. You're like, oh, yeah, old man, you don't know nothing. Why don't you just get in your motor home and get out of here? Honestly, it's like, you're crazy. You want to change the diaper? It's easy for you, you know, in your Bermuda shorts and riding in your motor home and all that jazz. I got a bunch of kids to take care of. But now, I don't have a motor home, but I have a big empty house. And I tell you, when the kids come over, what joy fills our heart, the noise and the sounds. The other day, I actually took my granddaughter for a donut. I'm keeping the tradition alive. When she comes over to spend the night, donut, daddy, papa, are we going to get a donut tomorrow? You betcha we are. And she jabbered and talked. She was talking so much, and I had this flash. I remember when my girls were that age, I used to just drive me crazy. You know, it's like, let's play Be Quiet game or something. But I thought, what a difference now that I'm a grandfather. It's like music to my ears. Just jabber all you want. Of course, she was going to leave in a few hours. But I remember just stopping and thinking, Lord, this is so wonderful to hear her talk. Because they get an age where they're busy and they're gone. They go off to college and never even call back. You don't know if they're dead or alive. You just want to hear their voice. Well, spend time with them. Invest in them. build that relationship. And then, if you make a mistake in your parenting, ask them to forgive you. At any point, any time in your life, maybe even now as adult children, maybe you need to call your kids and tell them you're sorry. Maybe you have young children in the home. Don't be afraid to say, look, daddy was wrong, mommy was wrong. I'm sorry, please forgive me. That'll go miles with your children. Now, here's commandment number three. Discipline your children. I won't tarry on this, but the little phrase in verse 4, in the nurture. You know that little phrase, in the nurture, verse 4, literally means training by discipline. Now, I know that there's different ways to discipline, and different discipline works with different kids. But the overall consensus by Bible scholars is that it's talking about corporal punishment. It's talking about spanking. Now, I use that word. I know, again, I could get arrested for that. And sometimes when people hear that word, their hair stands up in the back of their head. Did he say spanking? People say, we love our kids. We would never spank them. Yeah, I can tell by looking at your kids that you've never spanked them. Amen? Again, would to God that we had more spanked kids in this world. Discipline them. Don't provoke them. Do love them. Do discipline them. Proverbs 13:24. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. Got that? If you really love me, you wouldn't spank me. It's because I love you, I'm spanking you, right? Does not God spank us? Yes. Hebrews chapter 12. Whom the Lord loves, he what? Chastens. It's an old English King James word for spanks. Sounds real nice. He chastens us. No, he spanks us. God takes us to the woodshed. You know why? Because he loves us. I can honestly tell you right now, and I don't need to tell you what they were, but there's things in my mind right now that I thank God he spanked me. I wouldn't be here in this pulpit this morning had God not disciplined me. Got my attention, woke me up, got me back on the right path, and keep me walking in his ways. God spanks us because he loves us. So if you love your kids, you will discipline your children. I call it the board of education. I know it's not accepted in our culture. My mom had a big wooden stick. It was actually a scrub brush with a big hand that was all solid oak. She took the brushes off that puppy. That thing was wicked. I heard of one mom that had the spanking board on the wall. She put a stanza from a hymn that said, I need thee every hour on that board. And we need to discipline our kids. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I love that verse. Start young. It's not a good idea to spank them when they're 18. They can beat you up. Start when they're little. Be while there is hope. People bring their teenagers to us and, Pastor, can you fix it? 18 years, you jacked this kid all up and you want me to fix him in 1 hour? Ain't gonna happen. Start young. Start very young. If they're 13, 14, 15, saying, I don't know why they talk to me now. I don't know why they disobeyed me. Bible has our instruction. Proverbs 22:15. The list could go on. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen? Start young. Should always be on the basis of prior instruction. It should be in private. Don't spank your kids in public. Never in anger. We're not talking beating. We're not talking punching. We're not talking slapping. Should never be in anger. Calm down. Do it in a calm state. Make sure they know what they did wrong and why you're spanking them. And then it should be applied in the proper place of the anatomy. God has provided a little spot on the back of our children. by divine design to apply the Board of Education. You don't want to bruise them. You don't want to hurt them. You just want them to know that there's consequences to their disobedience. And there should then be a time of love and affection and instruction after you have disciplined them. And I'm aware of the fact that not every child needs a spanking. Not every child needs certain kinds of discipline. But some form of discipline is necessary for all children. They need to be shaped and molded. And then lastly, fourthly, verse 4, teach your children. This is seen in the phrase admonition of the Lord. Teach your children. This is verbal instruction. It's the parents' responsibility to teach their children about God and the Bible. Now, we do our best in our Sunday school and pray for our Sunday school and work with our Sunday school, and we need all the volunteers and helpers we can get for your kids and our Sunday school to learn about God and Jesus and the Bible. But this is not the primary source of their learning the Bible. Your home is. Your home is. And if they don't learn in the home, they will not learn in Sunday school. If they are provoked to anger, if they're not loved, if they're not disciplined, and you don't teach them in the home, don't expect the church to fix them. God has instituted the family, and God has entrusted these children to you. And so, dads, it's going to take you knowing your Bible to share the Bible with your children. And it's not just mom's thing, oh, mom reads the Bible to the kids. Man up. Get the Bible in picture for little eyes. By Kenneth Taylor. And start reading at a very tender age to your children as they graduate and get a little older. Get the picture Bible and read that with them. I used to actually do sermon prep by reading the picture Bible, the Old Testament stories. Like, whoa, I didn't know that. That's awesome. And I'd read with my kids. I learned with them. But dads need to turn the television off before you put them to bed. Spend some time Bible story time. Our kids used to look forward to coming in the bedroom and climbing on. They called it the big bed with mom and dad, and we'd all have Bible story time. And again, other than the input that we have with our grandkids, that's gone. I don't have that influence in my kids' life anymore. So start while you're young and pour into your children. Teach them about God and the Bible and the things of the Lord. We need dads and moms to step up. Deuteronomy 6:7 says that you should teach your children, the word of God. But it's got to be real first in your life. So my appeal to you in closing this morning is, do you know the Lord? Do you have a living, vital, real relationship with Jesus Christ? First, you must know him as your own Lord and Savior. You must really be saved, a born-again Christian. And then, we need spirit-filled wives, loving their husbands, submitting to their husbands. And we need spirit-filled husbands, dwelling with their wives, honoring their wives, loving their wives as Christ loved the church. We need spirit-filled children. You go, is there such a thing? Yes. Spirit-filled teenagers. Spirit-filled teenager. Try to imagine that for a moment, if you would. Obeying parents, honoring parents. We have a Christian home. May God give us a revival Christian fellowship so that we can influence our community, influence our world, healthy, strong marriages. May God give us children that are obedient and parents that do not provoke their children. They love their children, they bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.